From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day in which we can look forward to a great event. The first CPAC, Conservative Political Action Committee, of the post-Trump presidency. It's also the first one, certainly, that I can remember, and I've been going to CPACs for years, that isn't being held in Washington, D.C. What's amazing, and it shows you how important CPAC has become, how important the conservative movement has become, the fact that it's in Orlando, Florida, and yet they are anticipating a huge number of Washington, D.C. celebrities who are going to be participating. One celebrity just got canceled at CPAC. Why? Well, for reasons that I think most folks would consider to be appropriate for cancellation. We will get to the experience of young Pharaoh, whose act seems to be getting a little bit old, even for CPAC. Of course, the featured speech at CPAC will be from President Donald Trump. Usually the speeches are given a time limit. They don't normally enforce the time limits. Everybody goes over. But there will be no time limit for President Trump. So, did I go over when I've spoken at CPAC? Never. I am very good on time limits. I'm a good boy. And no, I am. At one point I was speaking. It wasn't at CPAC. It was in the Institute for the Road to Majority Conference from the Faith and Freedom Coalition. And I was speaking right before Paul Ryan, who at the time was Speaker of the House. So it was a kind of good slot for me. And I remember Paul congratulating me because, you know, we shook hands and everything. And I spoke and then he spoke. And Ryan said, "You got that exactly on time. It was 10 minutes. You're exactly on time to the second. How did you do that?" And I said, just help from above. You know, I mean, it's in any event, President Trump is not going to speak for 10 minutes. President Trump is going to be speaking. My guess would be this is going to be a very, very extensive address. Should it be? What should the president say? What should he avoid saying? There are lots of people weighing in on this. You can, too. 1-800-955-1776. We'll also be speaking about a new study that is showing a sharp increase in the number of Americans who identify as gay, lesbian, transgender, queer, bisexual, etc., etc. And but there is a secret that's buried in the middle of those numbers that they aren't featuring as much as they should, because I think it helps to explain exactly what is going on here. We will get to that. We will get out to the question of whether the United States needs a cabinet-level Department of Loneliness. There's another one of our close allies that is going to be having a loneliness department, and much, much more on a very crowded day on the Medved Show. We also have to look at the future, if any, for Andrew Cuomo. It is unbelievable to watch him melting down. The latest, of course, being very credible attacks on Andrew Cuomo by a former aide who says he wanted her to play strip poker with him. He kissed her on the lips. It's unbelievable. She's another Democrat. The people who are attacking Cuomo right now and threatening to bring that governor down are Democrats. And also, the New York Times today discovered something. They discovered the fact that the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, is in trouble. They were looking back to the early days of his governorship. He was elected governor back in 2018. And in the early days, in 2019, he had over 70% approval rating. Not anymore. And the recall election is a very real and visible possibility. We will get to that as well. First up, okay, the The one thing that we can talk about concerning CPAC is that one problem that they were making for themselves, and this happens from time to time. I am in past CPACs, they have invited people like Marine Le Pen, who is the leader of a very, very far right fringe party, really. Well, actually, it's not a fringe party anymore. It's now a big party, but it's a French political party. And why she was invited to speak, they've often had Nigel Farage, who is the British activist, anti-immigrant activist in Britain, who, by the way, was sort of the grandfather or godfather of Brexit. He was with the United Kingdom Independent Party, which has since disbanded. It was a fringe party. He spoke at CPAC. Why, however, they decided to invite young Pharaoh is a very, very real question. The report is now he's been canceled, disinvited. Hip-hop performer Young Pharaoh, originally slated to speak at the event, was disinvited after Media Matters for America reported the artist has tweeted that, quote, Jewish people are thieving fake Jews, Judaism is a complete lie that was made up only for political gain, quote, all the censorship and pedophilia on social media is being done by Israeli Jews. A Young Pharaoh also tweeted following the report, CPAC organizers tweeted a statement saying, we have just learned that someone we invited to CPAC has expressed reprehensible views that have no home with our conference or our organization. The individual will not be participating at our conference. Well, good for them. They did the right thing. But how could they be so stupid? If you look at photographs of Young Pharaoh, he has sort of tattoos on one bicep with a Jewish star with various signs of disrespect attached to it. And he said all kinds of crazy things. And they had listed him on the program as a philosopher, scholar, and musician. He was set to appear on a panel on Sunday. That's the same day that President Trump is speaking. Titled, Please Check the Number and Dial Again, Doubt, Dysfunction, and the Price of Missed Opportunities. They say at CNN, and they're right about this, actually. They say what's not clear is how CPAC organizers missed Young Pharaoh's long history of anti-Semitism and conspiratorial comments, which have long been a major part of his social media presence. This comes at a time when there actually has been a great deal of concern in the Jewish community and from major organizations about NBC. And we haven't covered it on the air because, there was a comment that was made by Michael Che in the weekly update on SNL. And then there was the last episode of a Canadian program that NBC was airing called Nurses. And the thing in Nurses was extraordinarily offensive. I cannot believe that anybody thought that that would play. And it basically was another attempt by major networks to try to treat deeply religious people as suspect. Speaking of deeply religious people as suspect, you will be stunned at a new poll where they asked Republicans and Democrats, how concerned are you, if at all, that the following are a problem for the country? What do Democrats count as the biggest problem for the United States? More than anything else. You'll be shocked, but we'll tell you. Coming up on The Medved Show.
The Michael Medved Show. All across America.
It's dangerous for America. It's dangerous for the world.
This is The Michael Medved Show. 1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show.
Okay, it's a pretty funny line in National Review, The Morning Jolt, the great piece that opens up every morning by Jim Garrity, who's been a guest on this show. and his work I like a lot. He said, we've already had, regarding CPAC, the now almost traditional cancellation of a scheduled speaker because of hideous previous statements. Boy, who could have figured that a guy calling himself Young Pharaoh would hate Jews? That guy better watch himself. We've still got 9 more plagues to go. and over at National Review, Tobias Hunhout previews the event, the CPAC event. He says the event will probably feel like a multi-day Trump rally, although you're starting to see some grumbling that corporate sponsors can help shape the programming. Then again, how many big events and conferences feature a speaker criticizing any of the sponsors? Judging by poll numbers, the Republican Party is still Donald Trump's party, and it's not close. So there's a report that at The Hill, and apparently it's based upon consultation with people at Team Trump, that says that the main focus of Trump's speech is going to be to attack Biden. And that, of course, would be normal. And you would expect that. And again, everything we're going into now is, to some extent, it's unknown territory. They've had defeated candidates who've spoken at CPAC after they lost their presidential run. But I don't think they've ever had a former president who has just been turned out of office. And, of course, there's never been a former president who was so concerned with alleged dishonesty and fraud in the election. And what they say is that former President Trump will use a Sunday speech to attack his successor, President Biden, and to tease a potential 2024 White House bid. A person familiar with the speech confirmed to The Hill yesterday. The conference actually begins today, CPAC. And we'll be speaking as the conference proceeds to Jason Rantz, our colleague on KTTH, who is over there broadcasting from Radio Row, as we have in the past. But when he takes a stage on CPAC on Sunday, the former president is poised to deliver a scathing rebuke of Biden's first 5 weeks in the White House, criticizing his successor's handling of immigration policy and his posture toward China, among other things. The content of the speech was first reported on Fox News. Trump isn't expected to make an announcement yet on a political comeback in 2024. Though, according to Fox News, he is planning to walk right up to the line of announcing another campaign. Now, look, there are three themes that President Trump could touch on. And everybody is, I think, eagerly awaiting his speech because it's going to be the first time we've really heard from him since he left the White House. And even the last week at the White House, he's been cut off from Twitter. And as everybody feels, I mean, Twitter certainly feels in terms of their traffic. And again, I think people are looking forward to this speech to see what his focus is going to be. Three possible focuses. The one that I think everybody thinks is most likely is he's going to attack people who have attacked him, including fellow Republicans, including those 7 Republican senators who voted to remove him from office after he had already left office, who voted to convict him in the impeachment trial. He is almost sure to attack Mitch McConnell. He is very likely to attack, it seems to me, Liz Cheney and other Republicans he doesn't like, and including Brian Kemp. What's fascinating to me is there's just a story today, a report today. They interviewed people who work with Senator David Perdue, and I mentioned to you yesterday that Senator Perdue, who is a very good guy and had been a very strong conservative Republican senator who lost by just the tiniest margin his race against John Ossoff, He was expected to come back and attack Raphael Warnock. And apparently he met with Trump before he made up his mind. He came over to Florida. A number of people are doing that, and met with Trump. And he became, according to the report, completely convinced that what Trump was going to do in 2022 in Georgia, which is where Perdue would have to run, is spend a lot of his time trying to unseat the governor, Brian Kemp, who went ahead and certified the vote when President Trump didn't think he should. Brian Kemp has never opposed Trump. He was a very, very strong supporter of Trump in the election and in the previous election. And Trump really helped to get Brian Kemp elected. Trump is angry at Brian Kemp and blames him for not working to overturn the vote in Georgia. Okay, that's one thing. And Trump is also apparently very much determined to go after, in the Georgia campaign, the Secretary of State, who's a Republican, and again, pro-Trump Republican, Brad Raffensperger. And Perdue apparently just did not want to try to campaign for the Senate in that situation, where there's going to be internal division in the Republican Party of Georgia, because Kemp has been a good governor. He's particularly handled the COVID-19 situation effectively, with none of the overreactions of some other governors, and they have had a pretty decent experience, both economically and in terms of people's ability to live their lives in the state of Georgia. So what I do think is very possible is that President Trump will go over a list of grievances, that he will mention the election again. The urging of Karl Rove in a fine piece today in the Wall Street Journal is, President Trump, don't do it. What you should talk about is the future and what another Trump term would actually look like. What Karl Rove writes is, he says, this will be his first public appearance since his calamitous January 6th address that led to a violent mob assaulting the Capitol. This weekend, Mr. Trump will again stir the political waters, as he's done in past CPAC appearances. At his first, in February 2011, he announced he was thinking about a White House bid because America had become a whipping post for the rest of the world. He had participated in many battles, he said, and really almost come out very, very victorious every single time, having beaten many people and companies and intelligently earned many billions of dollars, which in a sense was both a scorecard and acknowledgement of my abilities. Okay, one approach would be to devote his speech to anger and grievances over losing the election. That's what Carl...
Republican Party!
Michael Medved.
Who do you think he anointed as the most popular person in the history of the Republican Party? Huh? If you have some thoughts about what you would like to hear President Trump focus on in his big speech coming up Sunday, you can give us a call. 1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. What Karl Rove says, and I think it's true, and he says one approach is to devote the speech to his anger and grievances over losing the election. He could complain it was stolen and brag about winning more than 74 million votes. He could claim credit for every GOP victory, from flipping House seats to adding state legislative chambers, while blaming others, notably Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, for every GOP failure, including losing the Senate. Mr. Trump could also declare he'll be involved in the 2022 midterms by endorsing candidates who share his MAGA views and punishing those, quote, very weak, unquote, Republicans who've betrayed him, an unsettled message of cross me and I'll destroy you. If Mr. Trump follows this route, the media will happily make the day's story, his declaration of civil war on other Republicans. They say Mr. Trump took this approach in his disastrous campaign stop the night before the January 5th Georgia Senate runoffs. If he repeats it at CPAC, he'll be speaking to the shrinking share of the electorate that believes his every claim. The events of January 6th diminished the former president's appeal, and his shtick is getting old, writes Karl Rove. People are tuning him out as his power to dominate the conversation and cow inter-party opponents diminishes each day, whether he recognizes it or not. Look, it happens with any former president. There is no former president, certainly not a defeated former president, who maintains the kind of influence you have when you are sitting there in the White House, when you are actually the leader of the party. And what Rose suggests is there's a second approach Mr. Trump could take Sunday. He could emphasize his agenda and contrast it with Mr. Biden's policies, starting with the new administration's immigration proposal. He could share an expanded vision of where he would be taking America if he were still in the Oval Office, something he failed to do during his reelection campaign. He could remind people of his pre-COVID economic achievements. He could finally express compassion about those who died or suffered from COVID and declare his pride in Operation Warp Speed, which his administration's final week reached the daily vaccination target Mr. Biden at one point had set for the end of his first 100 days, 1 million vaccinations. There's plenty of positive stuff, of course, that President Trump could talk about. And I mentioned that there were three alternatives. One is an alternative, I think, similar to what Karl Rove is talking about, where he would actually sketch out, this is the change that I think we need in our country. And, of course, he would contrast that to what Biden is doing. The other approach, the approach that it appears, according to most sources, he's going to emphasize is just slamming Biden. And, by the way, one of the things I would guess strongly he will bring up is there's a big story today about how they're changing language in government papers and changing imagery in government papers. For instance, there is a there's a material that was published by the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, and President Trump had put on it pictures of coal being taken off, like Department of Energy, actually. It's not from the EPA. And what the Biden administration changed it to is a picture of a national riparian preserve. It's a landscape with a sunset going down and very scenic, rather than looking at coal, which is not one of President Biden's priorities. And they also apparently have returned the terms climate change. The Trump administration had eliminated the words climate change from government documents. Now it's back, and it's back in full force. The Biden people now are eliminating their own words from Trump. The term illegal aliens appeared a lot on documents and papers and statements that were issued by the Trump administration. Now they prefer the euphemism non-citizen. And of course, that doesn't get to it because most non-citizens, and an American should know this, are legal permanent residents. There are people who have green cards. There are people who are here legally. And again, there is a big difference between the term non-citizen, which includes all those people, and the term illegal alien, or as people in the Democratic side would prefer to say it, the undocumented. Now, speaking of all of these documents and differences, I think Trump could well approach that. But there is one thing here, and I think it's very true in what Karl Rove wrote, is that one of the the big problems with the whole Republican campaign. And honestly, I think if they had done something like it, they could have actually taken the House, and Trump would have could have won the election. It was a winnable election for him. Is at no point did he ever give a vision of this is what my second term is going to look like. This is what we're going to be going after. This is what our main approach is going to be. What Trump said basically is more of the same. For the first time in memory, the Republican Party didn't have a platform. There was no platform in the convention that the Republicans held. Well, the only platform was we support President Trump and his America First agenda to make America great again. Let's go to Kevin. Kevin, in Seattle, you're on the MedVed Show.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
Hey.
I'm well. I'm calling as a liberal with two sets of super conservative parents, one set in Montana and one in Boise, Idaho. And I think you're over-optimistic when you're talking about the party not being damaged by Trump. I can tell you that this is the first time in my life that my parents have agreed with me and will not have anything to do with a Trump-led party.
By the way, when did you hear me ever say that the party has not been damaged by Trump?
I think you're minimizing it a little bit. I think just even the fact that he's speaking at CPAC is going to harm the party even more and drive away.
Let me ask you this, Kevin. Imagine you're one of the people who runs CPAC, and you've gotten word that President Trump wants to come. How could you say no to him?
The dilemma, isn't it? I mean, and you see people in Congress falling behind him, and now, you know, the falsehood of the steal and people saying that.
There's also, wait till you hear, we're going to play it coming up. The most recent comments by Mitt Romney are kind of amazing. We'll get to that coming up on The MedVed Show.
The greatest show on God's green earth.
There is no place that's better, more fun, or safer than
The Michael MedVed Show.
On the Michael MedVed Show, the Republican Party may be going through an identity crisis. That is what longtime political consultant, Fox News contributor Doug Schoen says. We'll be talking about that a little bit later in the show. Mitt Romney did an interview with the New York Times, and I have not been able to read the whole thing yet. It hasn't been released. But they released perhaps the most surprising part of that interview. And it has to do with President Trump and whether or not he will pursue the presidential nomination for 2024. Here's Mitt Romney.
Will President Trump continue to play a role in my party? I'm sure he will. He has by far the largest voice and a big impact in my party. I don't know about his family members, whether they intend to do that, but I expect he will continue playing a role. I don't know if he'll run in 2024 or not, but if he does, I'm pretty sure he will win the nomination.
He would win the nomination?
Oh, I think he'd win the nomination if he runs. I mean, a lot can happen between now and 2024. So, and I'm not great at predicting. I subscribe to Yogi Berra's philosophy in that regard. He said, I don't like predicting, particularly if the future's involved. So I don't really know what will happen there, but I look at the polls, and the polls show that among the names being floated as potential contenders in 2024, if you put President Trump in there among Republicans, he wins in a landslide.
Would you campaign against him?
I would not be voting for President Trump again. I haven't voted for him in the past, and I would probably be getting behind somebody who I thought more represented the tiny wing of the Republican Party that I represent.
It's interesting. I do think it's not necessary to say that he represents only a tiny wing of the Republican Party, but it certainly is a minority. And of course he's right, and he's honest, as I think Mitt Romney often is, usually is. He's honest in assessing that right now the polling shows that an overwhelming majority, it's close to two-thirds of Republicans, say they would favor President Trump for another try at the presidency. I think one of the things that people should keep in mind is that winning the nomination is one thing. And do I think that that is entirely possible? I think it's possible. I don't think it's as likely as Mitt Romney does. I'll tell you why I think it's so possible. Because there are so many potential candidates who might actually run against Trump. Mike Pence is one of them. And I think Mike Pence has some level of support in the primary. And in fact, he's the only potential candidate against Trump right now who's scoring above 10% in the polls. And he was invited to CPAC, by the way, Vice President Pence. He decided not to go, and partially because of, obviously, the strained feeling between him and a president of the United States to whom he was extraordinarily loyal. I mean, basically backed every initiative of the Trump administration, defended the president every time the president was attacked. And I believe that the reports are that Mike Pence is not happy at the fact that there were crowds that were rushing through the Capitol saying, hang Mike Pence, and other things about Mike Pence, and that the president didn't call him. He called others. He didn't call Vice President Pence and say, hey, how you doing? Are you safe? And, of course, that had to do with the fact that the president didn't like the fact that Mike Pence had done his constitutional duty in counting already certified electoral votes that had come in on that particular day. Look, there's also Mike Pompeo. And Axios is reporting Mike Pompeo has quickly reentered the political fray, raising money for Republicans, addressing key political gatherings, and joining an advocacy group run by Donald Trump's former lawyer. The former Secretary of State is widely considered a potential 2024 presidential contender. His professional moves this week indicate he's working to keep his name in the headlines and bolster a political brand built largely on foreign policies easily contrasted with a Biden White House. What's new? Pompeo was lending his name to fundraising efforts on behalf of House Republicans looking to retake the lower chamber next year. There are a couple of things about Mike Pompeo that lead me to believe that he's not one of those people who, if Trump decides he wants to run again, would just say, okay, I stand aside for Trump. Mike Pompeo graduated first in his class at West Point. He has an advanced degree from Harvard in international relations. He obviously was head of the CIA. He was Secretary of State, and by most accounts, a successful Secretary of State who deserves part of the credit for the Abraham Accords. And Mike Pompeo, before that, was in Congress for several terms from Kansas and was an effective congressman and well-respected by his colleagues. The other thing about Mike Pompeo is he's deeply religious. And clearly the essential element, the very core of President Trump's base is evangelical Christians, white evangelical Christians, and some black evangelical Christians too. But Mike Pompeo is a personally very religiously committed guy and very big on the issue of religious liberty. And there are a number of candidates who you can't imagine actually jumping into the race if Trump were to get in. People like Josh Hawley. He'll wait his turn. People like, well, Ted Cruz, I think, is a non-factor now. There's a cartoon that was actually quite amusing showing Cruz in Cancun looking quite heavy, and there was and they had portrayed a Mexican pair of waiters who were gesturing over toward Ted Cruz sitting in an easy chair in Cancun, saying, "They're not sending us their best," which kind of a funny line. Ted Cruz, I think, has all kinds of fence mending to do, and it is unlikely that he would be a candidate. I think that Rick Scott is one of those people who's very serious about running, and also Governor DeSantis of Florida, which we've talked about before. Now, with all of these different people running, and Nikki Haley is an extremely likely candidate, and there are probably others, with all of these people very likely running, would Trump have an advantage by being far better known than any of them and having a solid base? Yes, if this ends up being a primary where it's 16 Republicans again, of course Trump's going to win. But if they can sort themselves out before primary season, and basically it will be a choice between Trump and maybe a handful, three or four others, something like that, then I don't think he is necessarily the runaway winner who locks down the nomination. The big argument against Trump, I don't think it should concentrate if people are trying to campaign against him for the Republican nomination. It's a question of who can win. And one of the things that is fascinating that I have been researching and writing about is if you actually look at the issues, do you know that exit polls show that people who prioritized issues favor Trump, a clear majority? It was 53-46 for Trump. So why did he lose? Because of those people who said they were looking at the personal characteristics of a president, they were for Biden more than 2-1. And this was repeated in other exit poll questions. They asked people, do you think that who has the right temperament to be president? And on the temperament question, Biden won by 10 points. There are some people who said they both have the right temperament. But among those who said only Trump, only Biden, Biden won by 10 points. The difficulty here is it's not about conservative issues when they are picking a nominee, whether it's going to be Trump or not, because you also need somebody who can advocate for those issues on which most of the candidates largely agree and sell that to America. And by the way, a fascinating poll on what Republicans consider the greatest danger to our country, what Democrats consider the greatest danger, and what's the truth about this big new Gaysir Everywhere poll. We will get to that and much more in this greatest nation on God's green earth.